Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's good to see all of you here. And just for the record, I like blueberry pie, peanut butter pie, and just about any other kind of pie you want to bring to the picnic. It's fine with me. Most of you probably know that Bart and Marlene, they travel from Angola to faithfully attend our services, and I just wanted to tell them both thank you. We really appreciate that. And I also realize that there are quite a few others here that travel a distance to be with us, whether it's Archbold or Hicksville, Pioneer, and even Michigan. So I just am grateful for all of you and just thank you for helping make up our church body. And we just hope you know that we appreciate each one of you. I also wanted to thank my wife, Melissa, for her encouragement, her support, and all of her help leading up tonight. I'd be hard-pressed to do this without her, so thank you, Melissa. It's hard to believe that it's been a year ago already since I last filled in for Pastor John. And about that time a year ago, he was doing a series of messages on Sunday evening based off of this book here. It's called Dad and Mom's Country Wisdom, Everything I Know About the Bible I Learned on the Farm, and it was written by Jim Geyer. After one of those services, one of my daughters said, "Hey, Dad, you could do that." And so I thought, you know, if I ever get another opportunity to do this, that, yeah, I'd like to do that. So tonight, I'd just like to add a few more chapters to this book, so to speak, or points. Basically, from some experiences that I've received, you know, growing up on the farm. Basically, I have five pieces of advice. They're coupled with a point, a practical point, and then a scriptural application. Like many of you, I've gained a lot of my advice from my parents, which I thank for that. And before I get into the lesson, you know, along that line, is there any of you that would have any advice that just pops in your mind that has meant a lot to you, whether it was something that you shared with somebody else that helped them, or something that maybe your folks shared with you that's been a blessing over your lifetime? Amen. That's not practiced a lot anymore, is it? Does anybody else have anything, some advice? Mark?
You do your best, and you work hard.
Yeah.
You know, that's our name there. So, I mean, I think that's important. I mean, obviously, we need to do it for God, too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, the family name, you know, because it's people see what you do and what kind of job you do, and, you know, maybe in the future, your son.
So we have two families that we're looking out for, right? Yeah. Dell.
I can hear a lot of stories about my dad, but
you can come on up if you want. I'll just hand it over to you.
Growing up, I mean, we made do with what we had.
That's great. Is that where the name brand Snap-on came from? Did he start that or? No. Okay. Okay. All right. Maybe one or two more. Anybody else?
I got you.
Yeah.
So my mom always told me, love who needs to be loved, and help who needs to be helped. And I think that's all I got in social work. And she was a strong Christian, so I really valued that growing up. Mm-hmm. I tried to apply that in everything that I did.
That's exactly what you're doing now, right?
Yep.
That's neat. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, like I said, a lot of my good advice came from my parents. And with that in mind, here's my first piece of advice that I'd like to share with you all. It's when it's going good, watch out. You never know what's around the corner. The thought process here as a farmer is if you had a good yield, good prices, and every once in a while both, you don't want to become complacent or comfortable or relaxed and think that this is the way it's always going to be. So the first point to that bit of advice is not to fall into complacency. For example, in farming, one year you may get 185 bushel per acre of corn and receive on average $4 a bushel for it. The next year you may get 170 bushels per acre of corn, 15 bushel acre less, and receive $3.75 a bushel. This example shows about $100 an acre difference between this example shows about $100 per acre difference for the same work and effort, and that goes a long ways towards your profit and loss statement at the end of the year. It's best to be careful how you spend the extra income because every year is different, and you may need to keep some of it to help you in a tough spot in a future year. No matter what your occupation or income, practicing Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, as well as chapter 16 and 3, is wise when making decisions. So if you'd like to turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we'll look at those two verses and then drop down to chapter 16 and look at verse 3. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. There we find it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Over the years, I've contemplated, you know, what the word acknowledge means. And I thought of an example of that not too long ago, of what it means to acknowledge him in all of our ways and in all of our decisions. A lot of the times when my wife asks me if it's all right if she does this or does that, you know, I don't mind. It's fine. But for whatever reason, that changes when she doesn't ask me or include me in that decision, and it kind of makes me feel bypassed and frustrated a little bit. And so it hit me one time, and it just made me wonder if that's how God feels, you know, when I wake up every morning and I just go about doing my own thing, I make my own decisions, I never include him or acknowledge him at all. I just picture him saying, "I'm the one who made you. I know what's best for you. I saved you, and you can't even give me the time of day to see what I think and acknowledge me." About a year ago, I challenged you and I to make devotions a priority when we first get up in the morning. I wish I could say that I've never missed a day at all, but I can't say that I've never missed a day. However, I can say that I've never regretted the mornings that I've gotten up a little early and I did that. My day just seems to go better. I have more confidence, and I handle difficulties better with his help. Like I said, you know, it's not that we don't have difficulties, it's because we did our devotions, but he helps us through those difficulties and just gives us peace in the midst of the storm sometimes. The other verse I mentioned also plays a part in that as well, which is in chapter 16 of Proverbs in verse 3, which is one of my favorites as well. We'll be in Proverbs quite a bit, so if you want to keep a marker here, that would be fine. One of my favorite books, I guess. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." It kind of speaks for itself. I use that often. And if you want to drop down to Proverbs 24 and verse 27, that's another verse that speaks to not becoming complacent. Proverbs 24, 27. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. I have a footnote for that verse that I really like that I'd like to read to you. It says, we should carry out our work in its proper order. If a farmer builds his house in the spring, he misses the planting season and goes a year without food. If a businessman invests his money in a house while his business is struggling to grow, he may lose both. It is possible to work hard and still lose everything if the resources to carry it out are not put in place. All right, while we're in Proverbs, I'd just like to go over a couple pages to chapter 27 now and look at verses 23 to 27. Proverbs 27, 23 to 27. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. I have a footnote for that that I like to read too. I won't read everything, so but I just like it. So the footnotes for that. Because life is short and our fortunes uncertain, we should be all the more diligent in what we do with our life. We should act with foresight, giving responsible attention to our homes, our families, and our careers. We should be responsible stewards like a farmer with his lands and herds. Thinking ahead is not a duty, is a duty, not an option for God's people. All right, number two. From here, I'd like to move to the second two-part bit of advice, which is just keep it moving, and sometimes you have to stay in the tractor seat. Now, my dad's probably the only one that knows what I'm talking about so far, but I'll try to explain it. This point, it talks about perseverance. There are times when you pull into a field to till it, plant it, harvest it, etc., and the thought comes to your mind that this is going to take forever. I'm never going to get done with this big field. But when you stay in a seat, the tractor seat, outside of making necessary adjustments, you soon find that you have more done than you have to go. And Mary Poppins says that first begun is, listen, though, half done. That was her help, so. Thank you. So first begun is half done. Basically, what it's talking about is initiative there. I mean, a lot of times, whether you have a mountain load of laundry to do or dishes to do or you have a whole yard of weeding to do, you just look at it and, oh man, I don't want to do that. But if you just get started, you know, that's more than half the battle, in my opinion. I mean, once you get rolling, you just kind of click and get it done. So, and like it says, you know, before you know it, you have more done than you have to do. So, basically, it takes initiative to get started, and then it takes perseverance to get it done. So, while we're in Proverbs, I'd like to stay there for this point. And if you would, go back to Proverbs 24, 30 to 34. All right. Proverbs 24, 30 to 34. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. I know we're going to wear Proverbs out here, but one more verse in Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. My footnote for this verse says that adversity can be useful. It shows you who you really are, what kind of character you have developed. In addition, it helps you grow stronger. When Jeremiah questioned God because of the adversity he faced, the Lord asked how he ever expected to face big challenges if the little ones wearied him. Jeremiah 12:5. Don't complain about your problems. The adversity you face today is training you to be strong for the more difficult situations you will face in the future. And sometimes I've thought when I feel like I am going through a difficult situation and I read that and go, boy, oh boy, does that mean there's going to be even worse ones coming down the road? So, but it's neat that, you know, we have this to rely on. And I believe it was Chuck Swindoll that said one time that God allows storms in our lives to get us where he wants us. Most of us can probably look back on our lives and find that to be true. The hard part is remembering that when we're going through it. And his quote again, which I really like, says, God allows storms in our lives to get us where he wants us. The third piece of advice I've often heard from my father has three related parts. The first two parts are listen, 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 and pay attention. We didn't very often get just listen and pay attention. We got listen, 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 and pay attention. So all three parts of this third point are, they're mainly talking about being fully present. I was taught that I shouldn't have to be told twice what to do. My first recollection of applying these principles of listening and paying attention pertained to basketball. I loved playing basketball, and I always tried to give 110%. Having the discipline to listen and pay attention, whether it's in sports, on the job, in our homes, that all helps us to be more effective. In Proverbs 1:5, I won't make you turn to that, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. This transitions nicely into the third part of this bit of advice, and that is about staying alert. It seems like I was told 100 times to make sure the lever is down and that the shaft is going around. My response was always the same, and usually with a bit of attitude. Yes, Dad, I know. You tell me that every time. That sound about right, Dad? You see, our grain drill that we used for planting soybeans and wheat, we actually still use it for planting wheat, but not beans anymore. It had a two-part shaft in it. That was ground-driven off of a sprocket, and it had a sprocket and a chain. And if you would shear a pin off of it on that particular side, well, that side wouldn't be planting anymore, and you wouldn't know it unless you turned around and looked and saw that shaft going around. We actually got to the point where it was a square shaft, and I think my brother had painted a white line on one side of it so you could see it better every time the white came around, so you'd know it was going around and you were planting okay. So basically, if you wasn't paying attention and you didn't know it and it was time to stop and fill up with seed, you'd get back there, open the lid, and half the drill would be full and the other half would be about empty. So you'd be planting half the time, and it would be quite a challenge to go back through and dig up and try to figure out where you planted, where you hadn't, and where it had stopped planting. So that's why we had to pay attention and make sure that shaft was going around. There was also a hydraulic lever that raised the depth control for the drill, and that every once in a while for some reason would creep up, and then you wouldn't be planting your seed as deep as you needed to be. So there wouldn't be good seed to soil contact, and it's not going to grow unless you get a rain, and then even then it might not get the root system because it's not down in the ground far enough. So we were always told to, you know, keep tapping that lever every once in a while to make sure it's down. And basically why that is, another reason is you want good seed to soil contact, and it needs to be into the moisture so that it'll allow for proper even emergence. You kind of want it to come up together. So those are important things to a farmer, and that's what was instilled in us to, you know, listen and pay attention and be alert. There's also a spiritual application here as well, and that's found in Matthew 24, 36 to 44, if you'd like to turn there. Matthew 24, 36 to 44. Here, Jesus is talking about us remaining watchful. And if you would, just pay attention closely to the words, and I'll just kind of let the verses speak for themselves before we move on to our next point. Again, Matthew 24:36-44. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what your hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I remember as a young man, you know, reading that verse, two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And I remember that kind of caused, scared me, And so it's just saying that we need to be ready, and have our houses in order and just make sure that we're safe. So far, we've talked about complacency, we've talked about perseverance and being fully present. From here, we go to tip number 4, which is there's a time and a place to save money, and there's a time and a place to spend money. The point of this is that our time and our abilities and money aren't ours in the first place. We are caretakers and not owners. Before we look at some spiritual applications, I've got a few bullet points that I'd like to share concerning this stewardship that I've found to be true in my own life. I've got 5 different ones. And letter A is kind of along the lines of what Dell was talking about. It's do more with less. Make do with what you have. Pray for creativity. Letter D, shop with a purpose. And letter E, give God a chance to provide. So we've got do more with less. Make do with what you have. Pray for creativity. Shop with a purpose. And give God a chance to provide. It seems like for me, I'm constantly changing cattle pen sizes and feeders, etc., as I have different groups of cattle come through and they kind of come and go. And there are times when I need to buy gates and materials to help manage the cattle, but many times I've prayed for a creative solution just to be able to accomplish that without having to buy anything at all. And it's pretty amazing that God provides a lot of times the exact thing that I need without having to buy it. And many, many times God's given me a workable solution, and basically I just take my time and some scrap material that I have laying around. It's almost funny, we kind of joke about it a lot, that a lot of times when I need a board or I need something, I'm able to find a board that I don't even need to cut, it's the right length, or maybe just needs a little bit cut off or something. And I don't know, I just think that's really neat when God answers your prayer like that. And there's just been a lot of times like that. As far as letter D, shop with a purpose, there are times I challenge myself when I walk into Walmart for a specific item that I kind of put on my Amish fictitious horse blinders so I can't see to the right or the left. And if I'm going in there for a gallon of milk, it doesn't matter whether I walk past the Pepsi and it's on sale for a awesome price, or if the Doritos are buy one get two free. I went in there for a gallon of milk, and I'm going to walk out without a gallon of milk. So the key to all that is, if you want Pepsi and Doritos, you need to put it on your list before you get in, and then you're okay. I think it'd be awesome if we acknowledge God and ask him to help us shop with a purpose and just give him a chance to help us provide for our needs instead of us basically impulse buying a lot of times and using our plastic cards. Just if we'd allow God to provide, Dean shared, how the Lord's answered his prayers and with his shots and things, and that's, That's just neat to hear testimonies like that. And I'm sure we all could share testimonies like that. And I think, at least for myself, you know, there's times when we probably should do that more often, you know. And so that's neat. Jesus tells the parable of the loan money in Matthew 25, 14 to 30. I'm not going to read it, but just kind of go through what it's talking about. Here we see that three servants were given different amounts of money or talents according to their various abilities. Two of them invested wisely, and they doubled their talents, while one thought basically only of himself, and he was rebuked by his master. We each have God-given gifts and abilities that he expects us to use well. The issue is not how much we have, but how well we use what we have. I could probably build another point off of that last sentence, but I didn't. Basically put another way, the issue is not how much we have, but what we do with what we have. If you would, please turn to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. And there we'll find Solomon's perspective on a right time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. The heading for mine is says Solomon's General Observations. A right time for everything. Verse 1 in chapter 3, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. While I was studying this out, I came across another verse in this chapter that I'd like us to look at to answer a question that I've heard asked before, and like me, some of the rest of you may have asked yourself this question even, which is, you know, we've sacrificed and worked hard all of our lives for what and for who. Let's look at verse 22 in this third chapter of Ecclesiastes. Just a few verses down there. In verse 22, it says, wherefore, I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? I just wrote here that if we see our life as a gift from God and we seek him to use it as he would have us to, then I think this is saying in part that what we're working for is our enjoyment, and who we're working for is God, which gave us our portion in this life. Being and having been able to enjoy our work is a gift from God in and of itself. Being and having been a good steward of what God has entrusted us with is rewarding in and of itself. The fifth bit of advice is there are certain things that you can't figure out, but they just work. And this point has to do with moving ahead in faith if you feel led to do something, even if it doesn't make earthly sense. This past spring is the most recent example of that for me. I personally don't know any farmer that, including myself, that got all their crops planted this spring due to the excessive rain. And there was one evening that I was out walking in one of my fields, and I was trying to figure out whether or not I should plant it the next day. Basically, I spent close to an hour walking it, checking the soil conditions, you know, how wet it was or dry it was in different areas, and praying, just asking the Lord for wisdom to know what to do. Even though the conditions weren't ideal, I eventually had a peace and a quiet confidence just to go ahead and plant it the next day. about halfway done that next day of planning it, I guess you could say wavered in my faith, and I almost quit because I wasn't sure if it was the right thing to do. I kind of had some doubts come into my mind. But then the thought recurred to me of the decision that I had already made earlier. That decision was made with time and energy and basically battling for clarity through prayer, and I decided I needed to move forward. Basically, I was just finishing that field, wasn't quite done yet. The sprayer was right behind me, getting the crop sprayed right after me, and I had, I think, one or two rounds to go yet, and it started raining. It was kind of a gradual sprinkle at first, but so I was able. We were both able to get it done. You know, after that, you know, I don't know how many times I had to go back to that field in the corn's early growing season and dig trenches to let the water out because it just got rain after rain after rain on it. There's spots that got drowned out. There are spots that were damaged, but for the most part, it's turned into a beautiful field of corn. And I give this example as humbly as I can, and I give God all the credit for that. I could not see how it would work out, but God, He took care of the details. So I praise Him for that. And I'm sure many of you have stories where you've felt led to do something, and it's hard to move forward in faith when kind of all the odds are stacked against you, and you just don't know that people are going to understand, but you feel it's a thing to do, whether it's a job transition or anything like that. So it's important to do what God wants us to do. There's a chorus we sing sometimes that says, "Little is much when God is in it." The first time that chorus sank in to me was when we were at a church in Texas this past winter, and listen for me that, you know, we sing that here. I go, oops. I don't know why it just hit me there. You know, little is much when God is in it. And it's kind of like the parable of the mustard seed that we see found in Matthew 13, 31 to 32, if you want to turn there. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 31 to 32. This is Jesus telling the parable of the mustard seed. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." And there's another verse that we need to remember what it tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Okay. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And here it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I also try to keep in mind what we read earlier in Proverbs 3, 5, which tells us not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Abiding in Him, like Noah, that gives us the confidence to move forward in faith, even when the earthly odds are stacked against us. All right, now it is time for the conclusion of the whole matter, based on Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14. And if you'd like to turn one more time to this passage for me, it's Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14. Should have told you to put a marker there too, right? Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In my opinion, that's the best piece of advice that we could give everyone, that we could ever give anyone. Fear God and keep His commandments. One of the commands God has given us in the Great Commission is to go and tell others about Jesus. This past winter, Melissa and I had the opportunity to go to Houston, Texas for the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Pastor Fair, he had actually given us a recommendation for a church to go to when he found out that we were going down there. I think he was, didn't he pastor down there for a while or taught college or what, pardon?
It was the Dallas area.
Dallas area, okay. But he was familiar with that area, and I think the pastor at this church was a student of his. Yeah, so he knew all about him. So at first we weren't going to go because it was so far away, but then we decided we're going to do it. And I'm really glad we did. It was neat. One of the things I remember that their pastor, whose name was Dr. Pope, said, he was talking about that we are not called to Christianize, but we're called to evangelize. And if the gospel isn't received, we don't just give up altogether and quit, but we move on. And it's kind of like having a circle in the middle of a page, like a solid dot, and we take our pencil and we keep drawing around it, and eventually it looks like a target, and that represents spreading evangelism. So we keep spreading out. While in Houston, Melissa introduced me to the modern-day taxi. How many of you are familiar with Uber and Lyft? A few of you? Yeah. Well, that was my first experience with it. I don't know, to explain it just a little bit, instead of having taxi drivers come get you, these are just lay people that use their personal vehicles, and they're linked with the company Uber or Lyft, and all you have an app on your phone that you're able to contact or download, and then you're able to just put in your or where you're at and your destination, and then it's almost like hummingbirds when you don't see them, and you put a feeder out, and all of a sudden you got hummingbirds all over. It's like, where'd they come from? Well, she put it in her phone, and then it would say, well, there's 8 drivers in your area that can be there in 1 minute and 33 seconds. And then it'll just say that, okay, your driver is so-and-so, and they will be there in a minute or whatever. And, I mean, Houston's huge, so it works well for them. Probably won't work so good here, but it was pretty neat. Yeah, like I said, at first I was kind of little gun shy about hopping in vehicles like that, but once I learned more about it and how it worked and that they have background checks and everything, I got a little more comfortable with it. And especially, you know, once we found out that the part of Houston we were in wasn't very walker friendly. We had actually got a hotel close to the NRG stadium, and it said it was within walking distance, but walking in Houston, that wasn't quite the thing to do. So we used Uber Lyft. So once I got comfortable with it, and I thought, you know, that's a neat opportunity for us to pass out tracts. It basically seemed like you could reach the uttermost parts of the earth just in Houston, because we had drivers from all over the world in our country. It was amazing. It was cool. You know, we weren't really with them that long, just long enough to kind of find their story. Melissa's good at finding their story. And I just kind of sit there and listen. But it was neat. And before we got out of the car with them, we always made it a practice to give them a track. And I had a bunch of these, what I call calendar tracks with me. It's kind of a tangible item that has the gospel message on it. So we always made a point to give that to them. And basically, it's the size of a credit card. You can fit it in your wallet. It's almost like laminated, so it's kind of stiff and shiny and nice. And it's got, you know, the 2019 calendar, January through December on it. And then it's got John 3:16 across the top. And then it's got God's ABCs on the back. And, you know, in a minute, I'd like to read those too. So basically, handing these out and seeing the responses of the drivers was one of the highlights for me of the trip. It was fun. A lot of their faces lit up, and they said, well, they'll put it on their dash or they'll put it on their visor. And so it was just neat seeing that they were grateful for it. And I got to thinking that, you know, a lot of times we go to trade shows and, you know, you're always whatever the vendor is, they've got pencils to hand out, you know, or if you go to a trade show at the Fort Wayne show, you know, whether it's an RV show, garden show, or whatever, they're handing out pencils, papers, candy, whatever. You get a bag, you go around and get all the goodies, so it's just kind of fun. And then as a farmer, if you, when you buy seed, you get a free hat. Or if you buy more seed, you get a free coat. And that's neat, you know, we like getting free stuff. And I just thought, you know, those guys down there, they probably don't have that opportunity. So just a tangible item like that meant a lot to them. And hopefully, you know, the good news on it, hopefully that'll get read and that'll mean even more to them. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 3:6-7, you don't have to turn there, but it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gave, but God that giveth the increase. We may never see them again, those drivers, but it's our prayer that God will allow our farming in Texas to bear fruit. All right, in conclusion to my conclusion, I'd like to read what this calendar tract says. And if there's anybody here that's never asked Jesus to come into their heart and save you, these verses on here plainly tell you how, and I invite you to do so. So, as I said, it's got John 3:16 across the top. I think we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then on the back, it's got the God's ABCs. Letter A stands for admit your need. It says God is holy and we are not. Our sin separates us from him. Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then letter B says believe on Jesus. God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for our sins. Romans 5:8 says God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The C on it says, call out to him. It says, talk with God and accept his free gift of salvation today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's Romans 10:13. It's one of my favorite verses too. If you would, just please bow your heads. And before I pray, I just was going to ask if anyone here, if there's anybody here that's never accepted Jesus as a personal Savior, or maybe they have tonight, and if you'd like me to pray for you, if you just slip up your hand, I won't embarrass you in any way at all. Anyone at all? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the message tonight, and I just thank you for your word. And how it guides our steps and lights our paths. And I just pray that you'd help each one of us to be disciplined, to take time to be in your word each day and allow that to happen. I just thank you for the plans that you have for each one of us and your desire to have fellowship with us. That's pretty humbling. And Lord, we just thank you for your perfect plan of salvation. And if there is anybody here tonight, Lord, who hasn't accepted you as a personal Savior, I just pray that through your word there would be a pricking of their heart and that you would just give them desire and an understanding of what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, we pray for Pastor John and Miss Vicky. We pray that you would grant them good health and strength and energy and just a blessed time on their vacation. And we just pray that you would bring them back to us safely at the appointed time, and we just commit the rest of the service to you, Lord, for the new prayer request, and just pray for a safe trip home and just a blessed evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.